Hello there, you are warmly welcome to the Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer picking through the bones of the previous weekend and looking ahead to the upcoming tournaments. We've got three crackers this week, some big names in action. So we'll see who Steve fancies. But first, I'd imagine there's a few wounds been licked, haven't there, Steve? Goodness me. I mean, Will Zalatoris. I mean, one of the great tee to green demonstrations of all time. But he could not buy a putt, could he?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I was going to say that the Farmers Insurance Open probably took a year off my life, but then I reflected and thought about all the battles that we've had through the decades and all, if they'd all taken a year off my life, I wouldn't be here now, would I? So it probably didn't take a year off my life, but it felt like it at the time. Yeah, and at 1:30 a.m. it concluded on the Saturday night. The West Coast events are brutal, whatever happens.
I watched the whole thing, Steve. I sort of turned into Steve Palmer, really. So from about 7 o'clock when the leaders teed off on the Saturday night through to 1:30, and by the way, what a disgracefully slow pace of play, regardless of anything else happened. Goodness me, that was slow. And it wasn't Zalatoris' fault. Jason Day, one of the slowest golfers in the world. Anyway, Zalatoris gets done in the playoff, doesn't he, by Luke List, and I'm all, peeved about that. And then I woke up at 8 o'clock the next morning. We're straight into Dubai, aren't we? And I thought, right, I'm going to back Rory. So I backed Rory. So it was like 20 hours of absolute torment. And I watched it all. It was ridiculous. So it was a real sort of welcome to Steve's world.
Well, Eric Van Rooyen wasn't much more fun either, because Eric Van Rooyen teased me a long way in the Dubai one and ended up tied for fourth. But yeah, if I'd had Zalatoris and Rory McIlroy, I think HMS Serenity would be sunk forever. I feel for you there. I mean, being on the Zalatoris train, I mean, you know what you're getting. It's a bit like Rafael Cabrera Bello the previous week. They're not good putters, those two. And yeah, they've put us through the ringer there by putt shaving the hole. And they both could have won with a bit more luck on the greens. But Zalatoris, as I say, he's not a good putter. I'm not going to criticise Zalatoris. My only issue with him was the putt in the playoff, because he had exactly the same putt on the 72nd hole, didn't he? And he hit it left on the 72nd hole and he missed it left. And then he did it again in the playoff. I mean, the world and his wife knew that that was a right centre putt, didn't they? Even the commentators were saying, right centre, right centre, right centre. For some reason, Zalatoris thought it started it left. But apart from that, I'm not going to criticise him.
He did play beautifully. But I mean, is it that stroke just isn't functional, is it? None of the putts, he was lagging pretty much everything, wasn't he? I mean, he wasn't threatening the hole at any point. It just looks like a rubbish way of trying to putt. There's no future in that for him, surely.
Short putt and vulnerability. I mean, he should have been two shots clear going into the final round, shouldn't he? Did you watch all the Fridays?
No, I didn't.
In the third round, he missed two absolute tiddlers. Really short putts. He's got a real issue on short putts. I mean, Jordan Spieth has an issue on short putts, so it's not career ruining. Jordan Spieth's multiple major champion with an issue over short putts. But Zalatoris' putting stroke is a massive weakness. And but I think he will win tour events. I just think that is the perfect event for him, and the opportunity's gone for a bit.
Yes, I know. Never mind. A little word about Luke List. What price was he at the outset? I mean, I don't think he was on too many people's radars, was he?
He was floating around the 80-1 mark, I believe. Was he? Yeah, I mean, when he went to a playoff with Luke List, you fancy your chances in a playoff with Luke List. I'm sure the traders were out there. I mean, Zalatoris was 1.8 going into the playoff, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that traded and won lots of money there. So good luck to them.
Well, I got a little bit of placement. I did the each way doubles, and Zalatoris and Van Rooyen brought home the place bacon, so all was not lost. But I mean, I did have visions of a real sort of bounty there.
It's a really, really tough one. But again, it's just testing us at the start of this year. Yeah, I started this year with positivity and patience as my two watchwords. I'm trying to respect history more. The history is strong. I've been tipping for 21 years now. 21 years. We've had two losing years. Okay, so with that history, you've got to stay calm and confident that eventually, over the course of a season, things are going to come good.
There's no point telling me. You're the least calm person there is.
I'm talking to myself. I can see myself in the corner. The winners will come. Let's be patient.
They were both amazing tournaments, I suppose, weren't they? I mean, that finish of Hovland, birdie, eagle, birdie finish to come from nowhere and win that. And Rory, I mean, was that a bad choice of shot or just a bad shot at the last? He seemed to have an awful long way to go there, didn't he? I mean, surely the percentage play with a bit of mud on the ball was to lay up, wasn't it?
the worst shot was the tee shot, wasn't it? I mean, the tee shot was the tee shot was crucial to. If you're going to go for the green, you've got to cover that distance early. And you know, took the 3-wood, expecting to sling that draw around the corner. You really needed a massive draw there. Miss hit it, hung it out to the right. He left 267 to the pin, but he left 263 to carry the water into the breeze. As you say, a little bit of mud on there. Tied first.
Chip in and take your chance in the playoff.
It was a massive gamble. I don't want to criticise someone for having a massive gamble. You know, it's not. I'm not in the best place to do that. But par for the playoff. Yeah. It was a massive gamble. But particularly that 3-wood hadn't been working for him, had it? It's a new club in the bag this year. He's put the TaylorMade Stealth range in the bag. New driver, new woods. And he admitted after Abu Dhabi that he's not got his equipment grooved in yet. So, yeah, that makes it even more of a gamble with a club he's not used to. He should have laid up. I don't like criticising people for taking gambles.
If there was a responsible golfing group, then they would have been onto him there, wouldn't they? That was daft, wasn't it? Okay, Steve, what else did we learn? So we know Luke List won the Farmers in a playoff from Zalatoris. There were loads of players in with a chance, weren't there? We better talk about Big Johnny Rahm again. Volcanic, wasn't he? And just a mixture of brilliant and rubbish. I mean, he only just got beat, didn't he? The fine young man was up there, wasn't he? He made a late charge, Justin Rose. Lots of them got in and out of the tournament. It was compelling watching, albeit, like I say, just ridiculously slow. And then obviously Jason Day showed signs of resurgence. So is he back now?
Yeah, we learnt a lot, I'd say, last week. I mean, Luke Lister's got a new putting coach. And, you know, on the 72nd hole there with that downhill putt for birdie on the 18th, you know, you didn't fancy him to make that. And obviously, as a crushing blow for Zalatoris backers when he did make that. If he missed that, we win. So Luke List, if he sorted his putt and stroke out, will probably go on to win further titles. He's always been a fantastic ball striker. John Rahm. Angry, angry man, isn't he? A very angry man. Spraying the driver around. Inaccurate driving and poor chipping was what cost him last week. I mean, and he still finished, as you say, only a shot shy. So, you know, two departments of his game really not working well, chipping and driving, and he finishes one shot behind. So it shows how good he is, and he's still on course to win the Masters for me. Victor Hovland, the reason that I'm so perhaps a little bit chirpy is it because I think the 72,000-1 Majors Act is still going very well. John Rahm's made a good start to the year. Victor Hovland, we've got him for the USPGA. Yeah, it's another nice building block.
How can you possibly say, it went bad last week, all is not lost. I've got my 72,000-1 4-5. That's looking good now. It's got to be at least 68,000-1 now. I mean, come on, man.
All we need is Xander Schauffele to find some form, and then we're in business there. But yeah, Victor Hovland, what a player. Up to third in the world rankings now. Such a quality ball striker. And what struck me about Victor Hovland's performance last week was his composure in the playoff. I mean, yeah, Blandy looked like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't he, going into the playoff? Victor Hovland's face, yeah, he's normally such a smiley. He was so in the zone. It was just like, you know, I am going to win this. He should have been about 1,000 on, and he wasn't prepared to banter with Blandy. He was like a machine in that playoff, and
Besmirch Blandy, though, mate. I mean, it's a great performance by the resurgent veteran, isn't it?
I'm not besmirching Blandy. I mean, he had knee surgery in the close season. He's astonished with how he's come back from that. Yeah, the evergreen Blandy.
He's brilliant, isn't he? He's absolutely great.
Yeah. Credit to Tim Barter, because he had to interview Hovland straight afterwards, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Hovland had the decency to apologise to Tim Barter.
I think Barter's a gent, isn't he? I don't think he would hold it against him, would he?
No.
He seems a gent, doesn't he?
Absolute top man, yeah. Hmm. It all happened. And of course, Adrian Moronk, our old friend Adrian Moronk. We're big fans of Adrian Moronk. We're desperate for him to become the first pole to win on the European Tour. Another good effort. Walked past on Sunday. I walked past one of my neighbours who's a pole, and I was so close to asking him if he'd been following the progress of Adrian Moronk, because I just popped out. It was right on the tip of my tongue, and then I thought, it's just going to get so awkward from there, because he was long odds on not to have been following Edge.
No, I don't reckon he would have heard of him, mate. I really don't. That would have been brilliant.
I don't think he's a sports fan.
Morning, Wojciech. Have you been following Adrian Moronk? And he'd just be like, no. Would have been great.
I sometimes get in those situations and it goes horribly wrong. I can't help myself sometimes, because I know it's going to be sort of potentially quite funny. But there's a fine line between funny and massively awkward in there, and that would have been. There was another. We got a lot to get through. There was another moment where, on that same walk, there was a fellow with a PGA Tour umbrella. Oh. He had a PGA Tour umbrella, like an old haggard one. I thought, oh, wow, I've never seen him before. I'll go and talk to him. And then as I walked past him, I said, oh, I like your umbrella. And he went, oh, yeah. I went, you're a golf fan, are you? And he went, no, I just found it. And he's just really, really unfriendly. Didn't want to talk. And I just, from that moment on, I thought, right, I better stop talking to people I don't know. I don't know where he found a PGA Tour umbrella from. I would have loved to have had that. It was old haggard one. I don't know. But yeah, I've learned my lesson the hard way there.
Oh, dear. Right. Well, so that was last week. Is there anything else we need to discuss, or should we get stuck into this week's three tournaments?
Yeah, we better. We've got a lot to get through, haven't we?
Okay. Right then. So we've got three tournaments, and we're going to start with the one that isn't the official European or PGA event. It's the Saudi International. We're going to start with this because it's a really, really good field. They tee off at, I think, 7 o'clock on Thursday in the morning. Dustin Johnson, round about 8-1 favourite. Tyrrell Hatton, 12. Xander Schauffele is 12s. Garcia's 14s. Cameron Smith, 14s. Bryson DeChambeau, 14. Thomas Peters, 16s. Paul Casey, 18s and 20 bars. So, really, really big names have been lured by presumably some decent appearance money and huge prize money to Saudi Arabia. Under whose auspices is this tournament, Steve?
This is an Asian tour event. Yeah, the first.
The Asian tour's getting a bit cocky, isn't it? I read today that they might be staging a tournament in the UK of all places.
Are they really? Well, yeah, I mean, this tournament's been a European tour event for 3 years and is now an Asian tour event. $5 million, $5 million US prize purse. I think we're off a bit earlier, actually, 3:20 a.m.
Oh, OK, actually. Pardon me. Well,
so get your bets on early.
Okay. Is it on the television?
It's on the television. And a Free Sports. You've heard of Free Sports? I believe you can get that on Sky.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? If it's called Free Sports, it should be free as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah. It's on Free Sports, 8 a.m. Yeah, go through your sports channels on Sky and you'll find Free Sports on there. I'm sorry, I should have got the number of the channel, but
okay. Well, while you're telling us who your headline selection is, I will attempt to tell you what Free Sports is on the Sky EPG.
Oh, okay.
Hang on a second. Should we do course first?
Yes. Royal Greens Golf and Country Club, King Abdullah's Economic City, Saudi Arabia. 7,010 yards, only two par fives, but the course massively plays into the hands of the big hitters. Carrying the ball a long way, extremely beneficial here. There's hardly any rough. This is the fourth Saudi International, as we say. It's an easy course unless the wind blows. I think we are going to get some windy afternoons this week.
Did Dustin Johnson contend or win it last year? I seem to remember. And he was up against one of the Spaniards, maybe, in a sort of head-to-head. My memory's firing back to life.
Oh, this is impressive. Yeah. We were on Dustin Johnson. Yeah, he won despite carrying a frozen putter, if you remember rightly.
Yes, that's right. I do remember, yeah. Because I remember this course. It's right. It's basically the desert. And then there's this little oasis of green by the coast, isn't there? And there's that lovely par three right on the coast, isn't there?
Yeah.
Free Sports is channel 422. If you 422. This guy.
422. 8 a.m. start on the telly, 422. Dustin Johnson's won two of the last three Saudis. But we are going for someone who is better than Dustin Johnson. That's a bold statement. No, I can't say that. But he is really good. You know how much I love him. Thomas Peters. Thomas Peters is 18.
Sorry, how many tips have we got? Three. Three, okay, right.
Three.
So you're going with Thomas Peters as the headline selection.
Headline by Thomas Peters, who's up to world number 31 now. You know my feelings on him. I think he's better than world number 31. I think the progress will continue. He won the Abu Dhabi Championship the week before last. You know, draining victory on a demanding track in tough conditions. You know, winning back-to-back Rolex Series events last week was going to be a very serious ask, particularly as he didn't have a very good record at the Emirates. He doesn't play the Emirates well. He finished 12th last week. Yeah, it's a decent effort. Mental fatigue was probably the reason for the third round, 76. He had three good rounds, one bad round on the Saturday. Peters tees up this week at a course he loves. Form figures of 22, 3, 10. All performances which came when he was ranked outside the world's top 35 and out of form. Sorry, 75. Ranked outside the world's top 75 and out of form. This time, different story. Bursting with self-belief. Really excited to see him in action this week.
Okay. Thomas Peters at 16s is the headliner. Who's the main danger?
Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton next best at 12 to 1. I think it's a significant advantage for the players moving from the Dubai Desert Classic to the Saudi International. That's a journey of less than 3 hours. They've been playing in similar conditions. And you've got lots of players this week, including the favourite, Dustin Johnson, coming in from far-flung locations. Johnson played in the Farmers Insurance Open last week. It'll have taken him around 20 hours to get
there. That's a long way, isn't it? From the west coast of America to Dubai, pretty much halfway around the world. And it must take it out of them. We always kind of just accept that they travel with no problems, but it must be really difficult for them with time zones and everything, Steve. I mean, back in the day when you were winning left, right and centre, you were very much a long-haul travel specialist, weren't you? And it does take it out of you, doesn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't matter how fancy your conditions are. The actual, the human body, when it's being flown long distances, doesn't handle it well. As I say, it's a 20-hour journey. That's 70, if you've got a direct flight from San Diego to Jeddah, that's 17 hours. The direct flight. I've no idea whether. Yeah, I guess he did get a direct flight. But Thomas Peters and Tyrrell Hatton are much fresher than Johnson, nicely acclimatized in the region, and I think they've been the main protagonist this week. Hatton has finished sixth and fourth in the two Rolex Series events, and last year he made his Saudi International debut and finished sixth.
He's still swearing like a trooper, isn't he? Every bad shot, there's a tirade of abuse aimed at himself. But there was quite a funny moment, wasn't there? Did you see it when he was playing that bunker shot and he sort of collapsed and fell over? He had a little bit of a laugh at himself
there.
I think he's probably a good bloke, Tyrrell Hatton, but he can act a bit of a wally at times, kind of in a bit of a sport brat. But I think generally he's probably quite a good bloke.
It's just his image, isn't it? He likes playing the angry ant, he plays up to it. Headcase Hatton. I saw him doing an interview last week and they said, what should your nickname be? And they both agreed on Headcase Hatton. I think this is just his vibe. He says he plays better when he's all pumped up.
But he must stop swearing just because I can't be doing all these solemn apologies. Do you remember that time when one of the Sky commentators apologised because one of the golfers swore, I think it might have been Manassero or someone. But anyway, one of the Italian players swore in Italian and the Sky guy apologised.
No, that's very odd. No, Tyrrell Hatton, we'll get our fancy hats on when he wins on them. If we backed him, we're fully behind him, aren't we? And I've got that hat that Joff gave me. I'll get that on next week if he wins.
What hat?
He got me one of those top hats that when we
backed
Hatton for the Abu Dhabi Championship. We got a top hat, so I'll bring
that. He got me a new water bottle the other day as well, a Palace water bottle, because he saw me drinking that rubbish thing that makes a lot of noise, and so he sent me a Palace water bottle. What a legend, Joff.
He is a top man, isn't he? Top man. Let's hope that's a bit quieter.
Yeah. Oh, it's much better. Yeah. Right then. So who's the third tip here?
The third of three is Lucas Herbert at 40-1, who is a masterful wind player. A lot of the weather forecasts this week are predicting strong afternoon winds. Herbert has shown great ability to handle a breeze. He won the Bermuda Championship for his PGA Tour breakthrough at the end of October in some serious wind. And his European Tour breakthrough came in the Middle East at the 2020 Dubai Desert Classic. So he plays well in the wind. He plays well in the desert. 18th place in Dubai last week was a solid warm-up. I think Herbert is the danger to Peters and Han.
Terrific field, though, isn't it, Steve?
It is. Money talks. The Saudis have put the moolah up there and, some people have stayed away for other reasons, but most of them have been attracted by the dollar.
OK, where do you want to go next? Should we go for the Ras Al Khaimah Championship or the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am? You can choose.
You know I love chronology, so I want to go to Ras.
OK, we'll go to Ras. It's not very good. It is the PGA Tour event. The European Tour event, pardon me. But it's
DP World Tour event.
All right, yeah, pardon me. But it's back to being one of those sort of fairly kind of starless affairs that we have so many of, unfortunately, on the European Tour. Ras Al Khaimah is the oldest of the seven emirates that make up the United Arab Emirates. And I think, Steve, I'm right in saying this course hosts the action this week and next, am I not?
Yes, you are.
Right, well, let's get the show of betting, and then you can tell us about that course, and then you can tell us who you fancy. We've got Bernd Wiesberger ahead in the market at around about 11-1, followed by Jordan Smith at 22s. Steve's neighbour's idol, Adrian Maronk, is 25s. Roman Langask is 25s. Bobby McIntyre, 25. I don't like people calling him Bobby. Robert McIntyre, 25s. Rasmus Højgaard is 33. So Blandy, so is Bjork, so is Thomas Detry. And then it's 35 bucks. Actually, it's not a disastrous field, isn't it? We just haven't got any of the real marquee sort of names, have we?
It's not that bad.
Sorry, I'll get more excited about it. Right then, first of all, tell us about the course. Is it definitely exactly the same track for two successive weeks?
Yeah, Alhambra Golf Club, 7,325 yards, four par fives, hosted three events on the Challenge Tour. Most recently, the 2018 Challenge Tour Grand Final won by Adrian Nuss. Wide fairway, straightforward greens, going to be a low scoring week.
How many selections? And the main selection, you all right?
Yeah, we got four. And the headline selection, old sweet spot regular, old favourite, Romain Langasque at 25-1. Wonderful ball.
Do you ever won anything?
He rutty well has.
Has he?
Okay. Yes, he's
okay, no, I'm literally asking because he gets tipped a lot, doesn't he?
He's won the 2020 Wales Open, I have, you know. Isn't your wife Welsh or got some Welsh connections?
Her parents were Welsh.
There you go. They'll know all about that.
Was that the one where they played two? They also played two successive tournaments. Celtic Manor there, didn't they? The memory's sharp today, isn't it? Yeah. Perhaps he plays well at courses where they host two successive weeks. That could be the clue there, couldn't it?
I'll add that into my my case. Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, wonderful amateur career. We've all been waiting for him to win prolifically as a professional. It hasn't happened yet. The 2020 Wales Open, his only main tour success. He's only 26, and that self-belief is still there. I was reading an interview with him the other day, and he says his target is to be contending on the PGA Tour within 2 years. He sees the DP World Tour is just a stepping stone to the big time. I can understand that confidence. He's got loads of game. He just needs to get that putter purring again, and I think titles will flow. He's a big fish in a small pond this week. And he's one of few players in this field with positive course experience. He's played twice at Alhambra on the Challenge Tour. He was sixth in 2016. He was fourth in 2018. So he's course proven, and he's made a great start to the year in the Middle East. 12th in Abu Dhabi, 18th in the Dubai Desert Classic. Massive downgrade this week. And the icing on the cake is that in those two excellent Rolex Series performances, he's had a new caddy on the bag. He started the year with a new caddy, Mark Duffy, experienced Irishman. They're clearly gelling superbly.
OK, very quickly, by the way, I want to throw in a question that David Redding tweeted me. And he said, I've got a question for Steve. When he follows the action on TV, aside from player interviews, what sort of notes and observations does he make? Does he keep stats and records?
A few years ago, I used to keep a notebook with me when I was watching the golf, and that lasted for a couple of weeks. There I was, being a bit more of a square about things, I suppose. But now I just get it all in the noggin, keep it in the noggin. Yeah, that only lasted for a month or so.
It's all up there.
It's all up there. Yeah,
it's up to Jennifer.
Yeah, as long as I've got a fully functioning noggin, I can store it all in there. Because as you've made the point before, I don't store anything else in there. You know, it's just purely golf form and golf information.
Starts leaking, mate, as you get older.
I'll get the notebook back when that happens.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, right, so we've got Romain Langasque as our headliner. Then who are the other three?
Next best is Johannes Veerman at 45-1. He's not played much lately. He's just become a father. Johannes Veerman Jr. has been born.
Ugh, I'm no fan of that, are you?
Well, I don't know. It's a bit, I suppose it's a bit...
so confusing, isn't it? I mean, a letter comes through or whatever. Or the phone rings. Is that Johan? Which one? I mean, why put yourself through it?
I know. It's a bit egomaniac as well, isn't it? If I called my son Steve Palmer, I would have been a bit ashamed that, sort of just want to create another one of myself. You know, these are individuals. But I don't want to criticise Johannes Veerman for having Johannes Veerman Jr. because I love him and he's a really nice lad and I really want him to win this week. But yeah, the nappy factor, I know you're a huge fan of the nappy factor. That is in play here. Works better for sons than daughters. So he's going to be inspired for Johannes Veerman Jr. And that light schedule, you expect him to be a bit rusty on his return. But he struck the ball beautifully in Dubai last week. He finished 35th, carrying a cold putter. But really encouraging ball striking display. And I think he improves on that and contends at Alhambra.
What sort of price is he, Steve?
He's 45-1. 45-1. He made his breakthrough in the Czech Masters in August last year. He had a great 2021. He's only 29. I think he's still improving. I think there's more to come. He had a couple of decent desert spins last year. 14th in Qatar, 21st in the DP World Tour Championship. And the weather forecast is good for this one. Like flat, calm. And Veerman's got a very high ball flight. I think the conditions are perfect for him.
Oh, lovely. That'll be nice. Wouldn't it be nice to be out there now in the golf, soaking up some winter sun?
Some golf. Yeah, I would like some golf.
Oh, well, there it is. Right then, so we've got two others. Who are they?
Ryan Fox, 45-1, who's also got some course form. He finished 16th in the 2016 Challenger event there. That's his only start there. And like Langask and Veerman, got bundles of power. Fox, one of the biggest hitters on the tour. Alhambra, wide open, four par fives. I think the big hitters will make merry in calm conditions. Fox has twice finished 6th in the Saudi International. Similar assignment to this one. And life seems to be getting easier for Ryan, if I may call him that. Being a New Zealander in the pandemic has not been straightforward. Travelling around the globe with loads of quarantine to factor in. He's also been getting used to being a father in that period. You know, Fox will be more pleased than most that the COVID era, I think we can say, is maybe coming to an end. Is that a fair comment? I think Fox seems more relaxed. You know, I've seen some interviews with him where he seems a bit more relaxed about life. He's got off to a solid start to 2022. Got the rust out with 61st place in Abu Dhabi, 26th last week in Dubai. Enjoyed his first tour hole in one and had a really strong weekend. He had a really strong weekend. He's only one shot worse than Victor Hovland over the weekend in the Dubai Desert Classic.
Okay, that's a very strong case. And finally,
Julian Brun. Call him what you like.
How do you spell his surname?
Brun. Put a Brun in the oven. Julian Brun, really promising Challenge Tour graduate. He won twice on the Challenge Tour last year. He got his first Challenge Tour win in 2012 when he was still an amateur. So his career stalled for a long time. But he's still only 29 years of age. For 2 years, he's been playing superbly, basically. For 2 years, he's hardly put a foot wrong. He was winning pro golf tour events before those Challenge Tour wins. How's this for a stat? He's finished in the top 25 in his last 12 tournaments. You know, really consistent.
He
ruddy well has.
What, European tour events?
No, most of them Challenge Tour events.
Oh, okay, fair enough. But it still shows a level of consistency, doesn't it?
It does. Two European tour events in there, full of confidence. I think he's going to win on the DP World Tour quite soon.
Okay, excellent. Julian Brun. That's the French for brown, isn't it?
Is it really?
It is, yeah. God. Okay, right, excellent. That'll do for that event, won't it? Should we zip across to California?
Let's do it.
Right, the final tournament this week is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am at Spectacular Pebble Beach, of course. Here is the latest market situation. Patrick Cantley is 8-1 favourite. Daniel Berger's 14s. Will Zalatoris is 18s. Spieth 20. Day 20. Justin Rose 28. McNealy 28. Tringale 30. Along with Seamus Power. 40-1 bar. So Steve, this is the Pro-Am event. Are they just playing one course, or is there a couple, two or three out there?
We got three. We had two last year because of the pandemic. We got back to three this year. We didn't have it was called the Pebble Beach Pro-Am last year when there was no AMs in it. It's the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
So it's three very slow rounds and then a final one at the iconic venue, isn't it?
Yeah, you got your Ghostbuster to put up with this week. You know, it's
is he playing, is he?
Yeah, the Ghostbusters.
God, Bill Murray.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay, fine. Well, it's going to be slow, isn't it? I mean, it's slow enough without those clowns. But anyway, all right then. Well, we know the course, don't we? Obviously, it's very famous, very beautiful. Is it in your top five courses you'd like to play in the world?
Yeah.
What's number one? Augusta.
Yeah, Augusta's number one. Yeah, it would definitely be in the top five, I'd say. We must stress we've only got 36 holes there this week, and we've got Spyglass Hill, 18 holes there, and Monterey Peninsula is back, having missed last year. Okay. Monterey Peninsula is the easiest of the three. Spyglass is the hardest of the three.
Ah, that's interesting, because if you're looking in play on the app and it has PB, MP, or SH, if after the first round they've done SH, then they're in a better position than the scoreboard would suggest. And if they've done MP, if they've had a good round there, they've still got the hardest two to play. I didn't explain that very well, did I?
Well, yeah, and I think it's important to note that it's a really calm weather forecast this year, because sometimes Spyglass Hill, even though it's the most difficult, when it's strong winds, because that's the tree-lined one, it's a bit like Augusta, actually, because that's the tree-lined one, the wind doesn't affect it so much. But this year, I think Spyglass will be significantly harder than the other two because it's a flat, calm weather forecast.
Okay, I got you. Right then, how many selections?
Three. Yeah, we got a 4-3-3 formation this week.
3-4-3, isn't it?
Oh, 3-4-3. Yeah. 3-4-3.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Who's playing up front in this three?
The aforementioned Patrick Cantlay at 8-1. I was surprised we got 8-1. We've been on Cantlay for all of his 2022 outings. Finished fourth in the Century Tournament of Champions. Finished ninth in the American Express, having been a general 6-4 chance at the halfway stage. A cold putter has cost Team Cantlay this year. 14th in the Century putting stats. 39th in the Amex putting stats. But his ball striking has been excellent. He took 3 months off prior to the Century. He's come back striping it. The Pebble Beach Pro-Am is usually about hitting greens in regulation. Nearly all the winners have ranked extremely high in the greens in regulation stats. I think Cantlay's GIR stats this week, his GIR stats, could be absolutely stunning. His tournament record is strong. He was 320th in the world rankings when he made his Pebble Beach Pro-Am debut in 2013, finished ninth. Injury problems meant he didn't tee up again in the event until 2017. He was almost outside the world's top 2,000 by then. He hadn't played a tournament for 27 ruddy months, and he still finished 48th. That's a great effort in those circumstances. Four Pebble Beach starts since then, three in the Pro-Am, one in the US Open, have yielded form figures of 35, 21, 11, 3. Every time he's getting closer to winning the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, I think he'll have a one next to those form figures on Sunday night.
Okay, I don't think you can say "gur" for G for greens in regulation because you get it confused with ground under repair. How would you differentiate if you were verbalizing those two?
That's really hard, isn't it? Gaia, guy.
Gur.
Would you go gur? Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? If anyone's got any advice to us, send us a message, send us a comment on that. I just don't know how you solve that problem.
And talking of comments, obviously, we always love to know what you fancy. So do please post your selections at the bottom. And if you nail the winner, we'll give you a shout out next week. And don't forget to tap that thumbs up if you're enjoying the show. It's lovely to have you along. We've got Patrick Cantlay as Steve's headline selection for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He's got two others, and they are...
The next best is another sweet spot regular, Maverick McNealy at 28-1. Yeah, the sweet spot is full of old favourites this week. Langask, Peters, McNealy... I think they're all going to come good. Langaska's won on the European Tour. Peters is finally looking like he's going to realise his full potential. Maverick McNealy will surely become a PGA Tour champion at some stage soon. He was on the fringes of things last week in the Farmers. That's a tough driving course, not ideal for him. He did well to hang in there for as long as he did, I think. Final round 75, but he did leave with a smile on his face. He finished birdie at 17, eagle at 18. I think he goes into this week, it's a dreamy assignment this week. You know, last week we were banging on about, you know, Farmers Insurance Open being the perfect event for Will Zalatoris. I think this is the perfect event for Maverick McNealy. He likes playing short courses. He likes low scoring events where his putting ability counts for plenty. He likes teeing up in his home state of California. And Pebble Beach will be top of the list of where he'd like to tee up. His family owned a summer house beside the 15th green at Pebble Beach. He's like, you know, he knows the course.
They sold it.
I think they've sold it now, yeah, but they did own a house there. Yeah, he's got a billionaire dad, hasn't he? They probably owned summer houses at about 50 courses, but I know he had one by the 15th green at Pebble Beach when he was younger. Knows the course at the back of his hand. That course comfort has been really evident the last couple of years. He finished fifth in the 2020 Pebble Beach Pro-Am. That was his best result of that year, and he was runner-up last year. You must remember that. It was a great, great tournament, actually. He pushed Daniel Berger all the way last year, finished runner-up. And we must note that McNealy was really unlucky to have a one-shot penalty for his ball moving in the rough on address in round three. Goodness. Yeah, despite that, a lot of players would have gone to pieces with that one, but he went on to finish runner-up. He's been knocking on the door of the Pebble Beach Winners Enclosure. I think it could come this week. He had his first hole-in-one, first PGA Tour hole-in-one last week. I think maybe the first PGA Tour trophy could come this week.
Who's he go out with? Doesn't he go out with a golfer?
He goes out with Danielle Kang, yeah.
That's right.
Life's good for Maverick McNealy. He just needs a PGA Tour trophy, and I think it could come this week.
Righto, third up.
Third up, Andrew Putnam. Going to give him another go. Such a tidy start to the year from a really neat and tidy player. I was thinking about that. I think my wife should have married Andrew Putnam. My wife's a bit, she loves tidying things, and I think Andrew Putnam would be a great help around the house. More so than me. He's extremely, extremely well suited to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am assignment. He went to university in California, and 27th in the Sony Open was a good start of the year. 14th in the American Express when we were on him at massive prices. I think we should go in again. 90-1 is enough. He's a two-time winner on what is now the Korn Ferry Tour. And I wouldn't be surprised if he became a two-time winner on the PGA Tour on Sunday night.
Why do you keep saying now the Korn Ferry? It's been the Korn Ferry Tour for ages. Or are you doing that parodically?
Well, it's just when they've won it when it wasn't the Korn Ferry Tour. You know,
what was it before?
The web nationwide tour, then the web.com tour.
Oh, yeah.
So I just don't want to.
Okay. I think we should just call it the Korn Ferry Tour now. Everyone knows what it is.
Okay. I'll stop doing that.
All right. I've got this a friend of mine, and he's got, you know, when you've got a friend of a friend, but you don't know that friend. And he always says, my mate Gary. And he's been referring to this guy for 20 years. And he always, oh, yeah, my mate Gary's got a new car. I'm like, you can just, if you call him Gary, I'm going to know who you mean. Okay. Sort of along those lines,
yeah, it's along those lines. Yeah.
Should we reiterate?
I think we'd better add, because we've got 10 tips, haven't we, across three tournaments.
Right then, Saudi International.
Thomas Peters, Tyrrell Hatton, Lucas Herbert.
RAS Alkema Championship.
Romain Langask, Johannes Veerman, Ryan Fox, Julian Brun.
And AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Patrick Cantlay, Maverick McNealy, Andrew Putnam.
And we're back to a Sunday finish, aren't we? Did you like the Saturday finish? Could you get used to that?
I was pleased that one finished on a Saturday night. Because
would have knocked the stuffing out of you, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because you don't want to go into the Monday morning when you're working out what's going to happen the weekend. There were benefits to that. I haven't slept well since that Zalatoris missed part, though. I haven't slept well. But no, I'm well up for this week. I mean, we've got a tip of treble. Romain Langask, Thomas Peters, Patrick Cantlay. I mean, that's around 4,000 to one.
Goodness me. 50p each way treble. That's the prescribed bet there, isn't it?
Stranger things have happened at sea. I'm sure you'd agree with me.
Absolutely. Did you get along to the football last week? You're going to go and see Weymouth, weren't you?
Yeah. I'm still well behind the new manager. I like the cut of his jib, old David Oldfield. I think he's a sharp cookie. And tonight, hoping to go to Yeovil. Well, we'll be going to Yeovil v Weymouth. We're playing him again.
It all kicked off last time, didn't it?
Yeah, this is the league fixture. That was the FA Cup fixture. This is the league fixture.
Weymouth, how many are you taking?
I don't know. I don't know.
How but we're far is Yeovil?
40 minutes up the road, 40 minutes into Somerset. Yeah, you got to go into Somerset, unfortunately. But yeah, 5-1 chances to win tonight, Weymouth. So I think that's a decent bet. I think the new manager could mastermind something here. He's you can tell he's a sharp cookie.
Are you the designated driver, or are you?
No.
So you're cadging a lift and you can have some beer, yeah?
Yeah, I'm never the designated driver. I'll go to Yeovil and see how we get on. We're actually in the seated section this time, though, because my gout's playing up again. So yeah,
I got the salmon's no good, no.
Yeah, it's back on the left foot, gout's back. But
bad luck.
Hopefully we can win tonight.
Okay, mate. Right, we're back next week for the Phoenix Open and the RAS Alkema Classic.
Well done. Yeah.
I
besmirched you. I expected you to get that wrong, so I'm glad you got it right.
I mean, I'm pretty rubbish at this, but if I write down the name of golf tournament, I generally am able to.
No, well done, well done.
Verbalise.
We didn't mention the Saudi International last week, and
no, I didn't.
If you look
You're
at
right,
the end of
mate.
Last week, I'm there going like, okay, like that. And yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, Steve, good luck with your tips. Good luck with your golf bets this week. Don't forget, as we always say on the show, please do bet responsibly with money that you are prepared to lose. Back next week for another Sweet Spot.